This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Native Land Pod is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with Reason Choice Media.
Welcome home to the native, landing on a podcast-based essence of greatness. 60 minutes or so hit, not too long for the grave shift. High-level combo, politics in a way that you can taste it, then digest it. Politics touches you even if you don't touch it, so get invested. Cross the T's and dot the I's, gill them back to get them, stand on business with rye. You could have been anywhere, but you chose us. Native Land Podcast, the brand that you can trust. Yes.
Welcome home, what? Y'all, and shout out to Daniel Lauren for our new theme song. This is episode 16 of Native Land Pod, where we give our breakdown of all things politics and culture. We are your hosts, Tiffany Cross, Andrew Gillum, and I'm Angela Rye. What's good, y'all?
Welcome home.
I like that theme song.
I love it.
Yes, indeed.
Cross the T's, but don't cross the T.
You said cross the T, but don't cross the what?
Don't cross the T.
But try me if you want to. I'm a strong 5 feet.
We stand on business with Rye.
I think I'm six five.
Listen here. Well, you know, as always, we want to thank all of our loyal audience. We thank y'all for every review, for rating the podcast, for subscribing, for downloading, for following, for doing all the things, for fighting us on social media, as you all like to do. We appreciate all of that. And you know, we got some places to go. I want to start someplace a little solemn today, on the other side of losing Donald Payne Jr., who's an elected member of Congress, who I love, one of my forever CBC bosses. You left us too soon, and your legacy will be remembered forever. So, everybody, on today's episode, Louisiana is out here Louisiana-ing. The State House just repealed a law that required child workers to get lunch breaks. Louisiana State Representative and owner of Smoothie King Franchises says he proposed the bill because children want to work without having to take lunch breaks. Oh, okay. So the president signed a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan into law. It also included that major nationwide TikTok ban that they snuck into that package. And TikTok has nine months to respond and divest from its China-based parent company. But they said, hold my beer. They want to sue first. I guess all branches of government are busy this week with TIFF level, say it with me, TIFF, nonsense. Because the Supreme Court heard a case that could mean major consequences for the unhoused on a national level. The case comes out of Grants Pass, Oregon, where it's illegal to sleep in public spaces. A Ninth Circuit court struck down the law as unconstitutional, and now SCOTUS must decide whether they can make it illegal to sleep outside if they have a choice to be somewhere else. And today, the Supreme Court will hear arguments on presidential immunity, criminal presidential immunity. While the court has already decided on civil immunity with Richard Nixon, Donald Trump's legal argument would be to extend civil immunity to criminal. And of course, there's no precedent for this because we only have had one thuggish, ruggish bone, unprecedented president. And yes, Trump has said unprecedented. Y'all, we don't trust the system, right?
Right.
Okay, Tiff is on the fence. It's
been
hard
on us. I don't trust the system.
Okay, well, I didn't know. I didn't get no amen. It's
no,
church.
I was waiting to see what the second part of it was. But for the record.
Oh, she was worried about it. She should be worried about it.
Don't trust the system.
Okay, and then y'all think it's been hard on us, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I said us. So I just want to know when in the entire hell us started including Donald Trump.
Man,
because
please.
I'm pretty sure he is them, but we're going to ask the blacks. And guess what? That's us. We're the blacks. We are that focus group. So y'all stay tuned for that very partial yet persuasive focus group. We'll also brag on some Trump trial updates. And what do Google, Morehouse, NYU, Columbia, and Yale have in common?
They rich.
Stay tuned. And we have a very, very important Justice for Marilyn Mosby update. And you know it's not home if we don't hear from the NLP fam. So count on it. Let's go. Okay, Tiff and Andrew. So this week, I know it's Tiff's favorite subject, but we got to go here. We are talking Donald Trump. We are talking what has been named the hush money trial, but is actually the falsifying business records in the first degree trial. There have been some updates from gag orders to David Pecker's testimony. And I think that what's really important here is we've got a perspective that you can't always hear everywhere else. Mm. So I'd love for us to talk about briefly our perspectives on this particular case and what's at stake.
Does it start
with sound? I'll say a little more. I'll say a little more.
I was like,
you got some sound? You gonna toss?
I thought Andrew was seeing that.
I mean, y'all were the sound. We don't have no sound from this trial. There ain't no sound from this trial. They don't let you in the courtroom.
One job.
There was some sound, but I don't think we need to play it on this show. But I do like what Mitt Romney said when he came out and spoke to cameras and said, I think we've all gotten to see a testament of Donald Trump's character, and you don't pay somebody $130,000 to not have sex with you. We don't need to pay it here. But I think that sums it up.
Well, it's surprising that he paid the man. I mean, that's the one. This is the piece of Donald Trump's reputation, of course, that Hillary Clinton pointed out several times. She even went to New Jersey at one of his closed casinos because the man doesn't pay his bills. But in this instance, first of all, last week we talked on the show where he basically came out to cameras and said, hey, I had a lawyer look at it. I paid a lawyer. They told me to write it down as a campaign, you know. And so that's what I did. So he's admitted to having done it. What I found stunning was the admission by the National Enquirer of how they just wholesale went out and made up stories about Trump's opponents to elevate Donald Trump, diminish his opponents, and then stories where they have legit red meat dirt on Donald Trump. They go out, buy the story, kill the story, a story that if put on the front page of the National Enquirer, supported by an actual bona fide witness, could actually sell more papers. So when they were asked by the prosecutors, was it in your interest, your paper's interest, to kill the Trump story, the founder rightly said, Mr. Pecker, no, it was not in our interest, which is what goes to the heart of this case, which is why we are seeing him in court in the first place, is that he used resources, could have bought it himself, but he didn't. It would have been legal for him to do himself, but he went through his lawyer. They tried to obfuscate. They tried subterfuge. They tried secrecy. They tried it all. And now the man's being called to the carpet, and we'll just see if he's held accountable.
Well, I think a phrase that you hear a lot in this trial is catch and kill. And so just so people understand what that is when an entity, an outlet, catches a story, assumingly buys a story, which, you know, is unethical in journalism. That's why people,
not in tabloids.
You know, Right. And it's important to draw that distinction, right? Because they will buy a story, which when you pay somebody for something, it automatically puts it to question in terms of credibility, and then kill the story. And that's what happened here. I think it's also important to note who reads the National Enquirer. These were people who were more likely to vote for Donald Trump. These are people who, forgive the elitist nature of this comment, but these were people who I dare say were not the most intellectually curious if you're going to the National Enquirer for your news. And this is how we hear from our latest star. Last week, we talked a bit about Stormy Daniels. This week, we're hearing another old name amidst all these charges and scandals, and that's Karen McDougal, the former Playboy model who said she had an affair with Trump in 2006. And she, this was her whole case. She sued American Media Inc., which, you know, David Pecker's company, which owns National Enquirer, because they caught her story. They bought her story, paid her, I think, $150,000, and they were going to just do away with it. She agreed to this because they agreed to then
publish.
Right. Let her write columns and let her be a model. But of course, they never published anything for her. I think it's also interesting that she was talking about while she was a side chick, she met Melania Trump, met Donald Trump's kids, walked past Barron's bedroom. And the weird stuff that she said he said to her. He talked about how much he loves Ivanka and how beautiful she is. And he would tell her that she's beautiful like his daughter. Just weird, crazy, creepy stuff. And so to me, regardless of the outcome of this case, it really does put before the American people, this is the kind of person that 75 million, mostly white people, are voting for because he allows them the freedom to say the quiet part out loud. He allows them the freedom to hold mostly white power and white control as the demographics of this country change. They would rather see it burn to ashes before they saw power equally distributed among the American body politic, which is a patchwork of all types of people from all types of socioeconomic backgrounds, all types of hues. And it's sad to see, really. And well, Tiff, I know, Angela. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead, Andrew.
So, Tiff, at least none of us are confused about why it is they keep showing up for this man. This is, yes, changing demographics. This is about power. Mm-hmm. And I just think none of us should ever forget what's at game here. Even the ability for a man to be able to talk to a owner of a paper, get a story killed.
How about that?
Get other stories that are not fact-based whatsoever put in the cycle. And the one thing about, you know, tabloids are tabloids, but some tabloids end up entering into mainstream media. They may be the first one to go that way, but they're the ones that make it a public conversation that then others can then riff from. And that's the power that this man had. And Trump zeroed in on it and took it for a ride.
Inside Edition said we were the outlet that everybody made fun of. And then the cable news outlets became.
Lord, how about that? So here's the thing. So David Pecker, as Tiff described, talked about this 2015 arrangement he had with Donald Trump. But moreover, what you just said, Tiff, which I think is really important to our listening audience, is Donald Trump has had the ability to say the quiet part out loud. However, in this instance, in this trial, he has been reprimanded for 10 instances of violating the gag order. Turns out the gag is up and he might not be able to keep talking as he has been talking. But on this, since he's walked around immune, we know that at the center of this trial really is the intersection of white privilege and wealth privilege. And Donald Trump has escaped liability, escaped culpability, because he's been able to pay his way out of everything. And so now, whether or not he'll be able to continue in that privilege is before the Supreme Court of the United States, as they hear oral arguments in the presidential immunity case. Why is this different? His defense team is referencing Richard Nixon versus Fitzgerald, where the Supreme Court ruled that a president is entitled to civil immunity from litigation. What they've never had to decide upon, as I said in our rundown, is whether or not presidents are immune from criminal liability. And that is what is at play here. Donald Trump is saying that immunity should apply to his criminal conduct. How do y'all think the Supreme Court is going to rule on this? They're just hearing oral arguments now. We know we won't hear this until likely around June or July. But how do y'all think they're going to decide on this?
I have a question. When you the law says that a president is immune from civil immunity. What does that mean exactly? That means that somebody cannot privately sue the president while he's in office.
That's right.
So suits
or for
that,
any acts done while he was in office.
Yeah, got it.
Acts done.
So any suits that existed before they took office would persist. And any suits that happen after, it just can't be. Okay, so then...
I was going to say,
because Donald Trump was doing all kind of things while he was in office.
I was going to say...
In the private sector, his children, the first year they were in office, Ivanka and Jared, I think, made over $80 million, I think, that first year. So I wonder...
I think part of the distinction, Tiff, and Angela, correct me if I'm wrong, I think part of the distinction is while you may be immune from civil lawsuit, while you serve as president for actions that you take in the interests of the presidency, thereby the American people. So
acts that you take
that are individual, and this is the line this man's trying to draw, right? Well, he's not trying to draw the line at all. He's saying basically, as I am president, I'm a king, I'm immune, regardless of what I've done, whether it is in the interest or in pursuit of my job as president, or whether it's in my individual Donald Trump crooning, capacity. What is at stake right now with the court, and I think it would even be a question if this were a civil matter, has got to be whether or not a president can be held responsible for acts that are not consistent with his duties as a president while he is serving as president.
Any official action.
Official action. And this man is basically saying, if I'm president, it's official. By right of title, anything I do is all right. And the court, if the court goes that way, we said this before, if he goes out and he kills his political enemy and then says, I'm president and therefore it must be legal. They have to take this to the logical extreme of the possibilities. And nowhere on planet Earth could it be true, except in Russia with Putin, can you kill your political enemy and never face a consequence for it because you happen to be the president.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
He am saying, like, as because I'm president, whatever I do is legal. This is definitely very reminiscent of Nixon. And it reminds me of that infamous interview with Nixon and David Frost, where he's like, look, I'm the president, so whatever I did. I think the scary thing that we collectively, no matter what side of the divide you fall on here, this is such a dangerous case, you know, because if the Supreme Court, if SCOTUS rules, if they affirm Trump's claims, they will literally upset the separation of powers and usher in this regime lawlessness. This is an existential threat to America. And if that happens, this is not what the framers intended. So for all the patriots out there who love to draw up the founding fathers that they think were these magical people, there is no case that supports Trump's arguments that he's just immune. Like, it's just unreal. So you are unraveling centuries of American democracy, which I think would cast a really dark shadow over the rest of the globe. The symbolism of America is important for world order. If that falls, I shudder to see what happens.
Tiff, to your point, you're like, there is no case. There really is no case. Like, there's nothing for them to hearken back to, because there was a point in time in this country not long ago where even a tan suit was criminal in the in the Oval.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That part.
Talk about it.
But there is this double, this triple, this quadruple standard where you can escape just because you're highly popular. You can escape because of your celebrity. You can escape because of the number of people who live in their fear, who aspire to be like you. And this is indeed the problem. I am terrified about whether or not this Supreme Court, the makeup of this Supreme Court, can remember that their obligation is to interpret the Constitution and its intent for this country, not to protect this flamethrower.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, your obligation is not to protect this reckless human being who will single-handedly, and I should stop saying that because I know better. I believe what Harry Reid said when he said this was the Republican Party's Frankenstein. Not single-handedly, but as a result of his building, you know, destroy democracy. And it is hard. It's so hard every time I talk about the destruction of democracy, because I know that this very broken system hasn't served us, but it is the one we have. It is the one that we have the ability to repair, unless we listen to Donald Trump.
Look, what do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose?
The black people are so much on my side now because they see what's happening to me happens to them. The mugshot, we've all seen the mugshot. And you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot. I'm being indicted for you, the black population.
Ciao.
Wow.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I remember when he said the first part. I'll get to the second part in a minute. But the first part where he's going down this list of what he considers to be the ills that the black community in this country were facing. This is back in 2016. He's campaigning against Hillary. I don't remember the judgment, animus, venom that was in his voice when he was giving that. This wasn't a person listing issues and solidarity with a plight.
That's right.
This was a man from a pejorative standpoint calling out all the things that they say in their quiet places about black folk. He's at a rally saying, y'all stink. You sit on the corner and you wait for the bus. Mm-hmm. You go to the grocery store with a plastic people head wrap on your head. He's going down all of the judgments that are made by his folks and basically saying, you live in shit and squalor. What the hell else do you have to lose by electing me?
Yeah.
This was when usually people go down a laundry list. It is in solidarity with no one should have to face this. That ain't what he did there. And I just picked it up listening at that clip. I knew it was wrong from the moment I heard it. But the animus and the venomous didn't come through quite the way that it did just there. And then just one last point, and I'll give it up, which is to say, for those who may think, why would you hold a president immune at any point because they were president? let's just understand that the law is based in something, the precedent is based in something real, which is you wouldn't want a President Obama being sued by a bunch of different states or senators or Donald Trump's or whomever because he decided to pull troops out of Iraq. That is an official act of the presidency. He is the commander in chief. He executed that. But by doing so, maybe there were some other consequences that fell from it. You don't want a president being wrapped up and having a second thought, second think every judgment decision they make as the executive of the president of the United States acting in fear or trepidation because he may be sued while he's still president. Those are called official acts, right? What he's trying to do is extend this definition of official acts to say anything that I do, any conduct that I have while I am president of the United States, I'm immune from it. That ain't never been the law. And that is the question that is before the Supreme Court.
That is the question that's before the Supreme Court. But the question that's before us, the blacks have convened their focus group.
Oh, Lord.
Is whether this is relatable to us, not just what in the hell do we have to lose? We know how much is on the line. We know we're threatened with it every time we walk out the door. But then he says that, like, we're walking around with his mugshot on. And then there are black folks who have used their platforms. They shall not be named on this here podcast, but have used their platforms and talking amongst families, saying that this is in fact relatable, that we do know what it's like to be tested and tried by the system, that it is reminiscent of the government going after folks like they did Dr. King and Malcolm X. I am looking around like where Sway and how Sway, because what I know is that this same trial that we were just talking about, like what happens if we violate a gag order, y'all? We get held in criminal contempt of court. What happens if we pay off someone to do, if we even have the resources to pay off someone to not run a story about us? What happens? We already talked about tan suit. What happens if we wear a tan suit? Or what happens if we get mad and say, for the first time in my adult life, I'm proud of my country, Michelle Obama in 2008, right? Like, let's be very clear about the fact that there are not a whole lot of parallels here. The fact that you can speak to our plight, as Andrew said, with disdain does not make you one of us. It does not make you us. The system is not trying you. You're actually abusing the system. Who among us could stand 10 toes down with 88 indictments and get three dismissed?
And run for president.
And run for president.
Become the nominee.
Again.
Of one of two major parties.
Tiff is squirmy wormying, so I want to hear what's on her on
well,
her heart.
Well, I'll be brief because I want us to get off Trump, as you know. But I know. I would just say Donald Trump says asinine things all the time. And I often said trying to cover him when he was in office was like trying to catch confetti, because there was some new stupid thing that he would put in the atmosphere every day, be it tweet or, you know, some press conference he would hold. The disappointing part of this is, I think, the lowest common denominator among us echoing this message. And Angela, you said family talk, but the thing is, this was not family talk. This was somebody going outside of family, carrying the water for this half-witted, politically inept president, and carrying this message to people. And I don't believe the people who say this would ever say that to family. Yeah. I think you say something like that to get the adoration of white people, to get the attaboy from white people. And it just, I think, makes people who are out there saying these ignorant things, it makes you look like the small person that you are. And I don't even mean in height or stature. I mean in intellect and intelligence. And I expect ignorance from some people. I'm not remotely interested in somebody's political opinions on a large platform. You're a taxpaying citizen. You have a right to vote and you have a right to your opinion. I just don't really care about it. The disappointment I feel is when members of the media elevate certain voices who really have no business weighing in on such things. And I think that only happens within our community. I can't remember somebody asking, you know, a white sports commentator to weigh in on foreign policy or domestic policy. And it just drives me a little nuts. Yeah. So I would just challenge the media, maybe do a little background and consider who you're putting out there. And if you're finding somebody that makes white people comfortable, then you're probably, you have the wrong voice.
Tiff, I take slight departure, and I hear where you're coming from, just on this piece around the resonance of a mugshot and his his tangling with the criminal justice system or the justice system so publicly in the way that he has of late, and what resonance that may have with some black folk. Some of the names that we're not going to check, some of the black folks, Angela, you're alluding to, who have given audience to this, who've echoed this belief that he know us a little better because he's gone through what we've gone through, are legit folks. And I don't think they're just making it up. I think they think that, man, seeing this guy go through this kind of lets them see out loud that white people go through it too. Well, let's be clear. First of all, white folks have always been entangled in the criminal justice system. They preexisted us. We were property. They, you know, so that part is not new. What is new here is obviously the way he's trying to play us. I get that it would be nice and relatable to have a president who has some shared experiences, but let's not get it twisted. Trump does not share our experience in any way, shape, or form as it relates to how black people encounter the criminal justice system and how powerful white men, i.e. Donald Trump, encounter this system. And I feel this personally because I've been there. Yeah. When I was accused, indicted, and I had to surrender myself to the government, a day I will never forget, one that will live in infamy for me, I showed up and first things first is I had to take a mugshot. When Donald Trump showed up in New York for Alvin Bragg, there was a fingerprint. He was handed his indictment, but there was never a mugshot. The next thing that I had to do was I got handcuffed, not only by my wrists, but then by a chain running down to my waist, and then a chain around my waist. And from my waist, a chain going down to both my left and my right foot with two more handcuffs. And I had to walk at the distance of a baby's legs width because that's how constrained I was. Right? So Donald Trump didn't have a handcuff on him. Mm-hmm. Let's get that correct. And hadn't had one in any of the surrendering that he's had to do around any of these cases. When I was accused, I lost a bank. I lost American Express and four credit cards associated with them with a near 800 credit score. Yeah. While Donald Trump, who isn't just accused, but was found responsible, liable, $500+ million he got to pay. And he didn't lose nothing. He went and got almost $200 million secured to back him up. So while he goes through appeal, right? That didn't happen for us. Didn't happen for me. I lost it. Yet this man, so for money he legitimately owes, I was just accused, right? Yeah. We beat their asses. And in his case, I think he's going down. My only point here is do not get it twisted. It just because the man is perping, like he has a relationship and understands our plight. One, you misunderstand us. One, because all of us don't have that lived experience.
That's exactly
Number
it.
Two, you misunderstand us. And actually, you're not trying to understand us because this is never about a system. It's always about Donald Trump. This is not about how people are treated in the criminal justice system. This is about how Donald Trump is being treated in the criminal justice system. His level of privilege, no matter how white he is not privilege that I would believe is extended to all white folks. It is extended to him at his level of power and influence, and his grievance is only with the way he's being treated. He is not dismantling a system for the corruption of a system. He wants to dismantle a system because of the way in which he has been treated in that system, not because how you and I fare in that system. He can't even dream of how to relate to a criminal justice system that treats him the way it treats us.
Yeah. You know,
that's a word.
It's such a word. And Andrew, I thank you for your vulnerability and sharing it. I think that it has been a point of privilege for us to have you free.
Mm-hmm.
I did not
about
mean
to get something started. She's getting something started.
But like, it didn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing that is so alarming and unnerving about what he's saying is, It literally is a slap in the face for everyone who is fighting with everything they have, with every dime they have, with every ounce of energy they have as they contemplate whether they should be here or not.
Hello.
That is a completely different battle that he has never faced, that he has no idea about. So at any moment where we are, you know, kind of confused, like something that he's saying sounds right, the unjust system sounds right, it rings true to me, I want you to take a moment to tap in with someone who has experienced the other side of the criminal justice system and ask them what their journey was like, because it didn't look like his.
Come on.
That is the part for me. And as much as like I'm tired of talking about him too, Tiff, I think that we have an obligation to our people to just take a beat sometimes and remind us all why what he says is so triggering, why it is both infuriating because we know what he means and what our experience is and how he's using it to juxtapose it against and lean up against our actual struggle.
That's real.
In the face of a fake faux struggle. Like, how dare you use what our people have been through, how they've sacrificed their lives for righteousness, for justice, and throw that in our faces as you like are like able to just escape scot-free all the time. You know, like that is the part for me. And so I just want to tap in with my brother for a minute to say, I am so glad that you leaned on faith and you leaned into courage and you were able to take this on and you were successful. That is not always our testimony.
It's real.
You know, it is one in a million, Andrew. Like, normally the feds prosecute, the feds win. They bank on that. And it even when it is false.
That's right.
When it is wrongful.
That's right.
And Donald Trump is not, you don't get 88 indictments wrong at every level of government. That just don't happen.
Well, can I just tap in on something? Because I hear you, Angela, about talking about Trump. I just think, you know, what we get to do here is have a different lens that you don't hear on cable news. But we are also overlooking news. You know, there was a piece in the New York Times this morning right on target what we're talking about the disproportionate number of botched executions that impact Black men directly.
Mm. Yeah.
This man is not worried. Donald Trump is not worried about that. That is not his life. That's not his testimony. Right. Andrew, your testimony is harrowing for sure. There's also testimony of people who had SWAT crash through their house, break open their windows, harm their children, harm their mothers, their dogs, the, you know, Red Dog police teams in Atlanta and what they did in the name of justice, of targeting parents who lost children. That is what our criminal justice system looks like. So I just challenge the media at large to not turn this into a reality show with wall-to-wall coverage while overlooking things that can still speak to these issues. But don't give him the attention that he so craves and desires.
And as you know, Tiff, the media ain't interested in that larger narrative that we're talking about right now. They ain't into it.
That's why Native Land is
here. And Donald Trump ain't here for it either. And that's why we have to, as gut-wrenching and mind-numbing it is to have to talk about this guy, it's important because the story, if we allowed his story and his embrace of us to go unchallenged just because it has a resemblance, a very shadowy resemblance, because you threw criminal justice out there in a mugshot, that somehow you understand this thing. And your point is well taken, Tiff. The story, the harrowing experiences of people go so deep, so many places within our community with regards to our confrontation with law and justice and our mistrust of it, that this, like, again, just know this man ain't on the page. He ain't in the book. He's not in the book we're reading.
Well, now we just spent so much time on him, we're going to take a break. You know, y'all, we got bills to pay because unlike Donald Trump, we can't escape this.
Come on.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian Cocktail Maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
All right. Well, after much debate, we've decided that we are also going to ban TikTok from our episode today. We don't have enough time. What we're going to talk about instead is HBCUs that don't always get enough coverage. And you all right, brother?
I'm good. I'm, you know.
You always got the always have from the children. I love my niece and nephews, but Jesus, they be keeping things. My brother sick. Joe Biden was invited to deliver the commencement speech at Morehouse College, and it is being met with mixed reviews.
The timing is bad. I mean, it would almost be like inviting Lyndon Johnson to come and speak at Morehouse at the height of the Vietnam War.
Mitchell is a civil rights attorney with the Council on American-Islamic Relations and is himself Muslim. He graduated from Morehouse in 2009 and says speaking out against injustice is woven into the fabric of the storied school.
I do expect that there will be a vocal outcry about this. But I do think in the spirit of Morehouse and the history of Morehouse, it'll be respectful, it'll be intelligent, it'll be effective.
We wouldn't expect anything less. But y'all, it is interesting timing. And both students, folks on the faculty and alums have something to say about Joe Biden delivering the commencement speech in the middle of what's happening in Gaza.
Well, I think this is clearly a campaign ploy. I think they are paying attention to, I believe, the false media narrative that Joe Biden is losing support among black men. And I wonder if Morehouse invited the president or if the president offered to go.
He was invited in September, but he just said yes, which is normal.
But we don't think anybody from the, well, I don't know. I don't even want to speculate because I don't know.
I got an experience of what you're talking about. I hear you.
right. I mean, I think, you know, it benefits him. Just for greatly. our listeners who may not be as familiar with Morehouse, I mean, this is very much is like the Ivy League of HBCUs. Previous speakers, Wes Moore was a commencement speaker, first black governor of Maryland. Raphael Warnock is a previous commencement speaker. We all remember when billionaire Robert Smith was a commencement speaker and paid off everybody's loans. Yes. President Obama spoke there in 2013. So the young men who attend Morehouse College are some of the best and the brightest. And some names you would know, Bakari Sellers, Mark Lamont Hill, our friend Albert Sanders. He hates when I talk about him, but I'll just say he went to Morehouse. And Shermichael Singleton, Republican. You see him there. So they have a very distinguished list. Martin Luther King, of course, went to Morehouse. So I'll be interested in hearing how President Biden connects with the students. I think he has to be aware that it will not be a completely warm reception. I think we can anticipate seeing protests, and I wonder how those protests will show up during his remarks. But this is something that I have to say. We try to tell you. You cannot convince an oppressed people that other people are not being oppressed. We are the best at recognizing it. And so I wonder what their plan is. Because this bridges their domestic policy and foreign policy that very few people support. I don't know. Angela is so disgusted by it that she is slapping herself with the face. She can't take it.
She's just like, landed on my lip. You didn't see that? It was like a little fruit fly. I'm like, what the hell? And it's like sticky.
What y'all got fruit flies in the studio?
I know that feel. I hate that feeling when you're wearing them juicy tubes and you like, what just landed on my lip? I don't like. Is that Pete sparkling
water?
It's
just best to ignore it when it happens. Just
no,
don't question.
I couldn't.
Just
like, it literally.
No, not talking about that. I'm talking about when the bug. When the bug does what it does, just be like, nah, that didn't go in there.
Angela just got so. She was. I just looked up. She was beating herself in the face. So I'm like, Angela is passionate. Please, Angela, you say your remarks on this moral thing.
Tiffany, I think I agree. He's lucky that this is Morehouse. In this instance, because
here we go with FAMU. We about to do the FAMU.
Well,
thing
no, they'll be tame.
Marching 100, I think, be marching on that ass.
I think this will be a very organized. If there's a protest, it will be incredibly respectful. And I'll just say, I think it will be a warm reception overall for him here because
I think
because largely they're going to talk about issues that confront Black folks writ large. And I think the White House probably didn't deeply contemplate how international affairs might intersect with this visit. But we know that it will. Speaking of people who invited themselves, when I was student body president at FAMU, Jeb Bush invited himself.
Oh,
it is not known. It was said he was invited to be FAMU's commencement speaker. No, the real story was he invited himself, had the president, his office.
No, but was he the commencement speaker?
It would have been my graduation. And of course, hell no, it wasn't. I announced as student body president that if Jeb Bush accepted the invitation to be FAMU's commencement speaker, that the students of FAMU in the led by the graduates would stand up, turn our backs and walk out on him.
It would have been. Where the hell is he? Didn't he just drop off the face of the earth?
I mean, as far as I can, he could fall all the way off the earth. In that case, all I'm just saying is.
He means figuratively for those of you that might think that that's a
he just fine. Yeah, it all works. But I think they have not really, in my opinion, fully appreciated how deep this divide is in America, generationally, particularly as it relates to the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. The folks here, young Jewish, non-Jewish, Black, white, everything in between, they know right from wrong. And when they see children, women, families, folks who did not wage war, would not want for war, they just happen to live in a war zone and are living through that under the hostageship of Hamas every single day in and outside of conflict with Israel.
Yeah.
For them to pay the price for the actions of terrorists to the tune of some 30 plus thousand now, there's no humanity in that.
Including women and children.
That's right. And this generation of folks is not, they're like Democrat, Republican, I don't care who you are. Wrong's wrong and we're not down for this. Something's got to happen. Something's got to change.
Well, and just Morehouse. I mean, no, this is happening everywhere.
That's exactly right. So speaking of respectful and peaceful protests, students are speaking up and they are loud and they are clear. They are not just online. They are on campus. You know, speaking of respectful protests, what we know is the students have something to say, especially on what's happening in Gaza. It's not just Morehouse. It's not just on TikTok that's about to be banned potentially. It's not just on social. It's all over campuses throughout this country. What's really been in the media lately are Columbia, mostly Yale, NYU, MIT, University of Michigan, California State, Berkeley, and many others. And what I think is so important is that folks are kind of talking about this like student protests are in a vacuum. They've been largely peaceful. Of course, there's been some conflict, some folks on extreme sides of the issue, but this is not new. Students have been protesting on college campuses since the beginning of time. Andrew just referenced his time as student government association president at FAMU. What he didn't say is he also was protesting in the governor's office while at FAMU.
Angela, you know, what you missed, yes. When I ran for SJ president, my opponent said This is college. If Gillum wins, all he gonna do is have us protesting. We supposed to have fun here too.
Turns out you lost. You lost. And on that, they said, no, we're gonna use our voices in the student activities fee to get what we want. The Greensboro sit-in in North Carolina A&T. Alabama State University, back in the day. At Kent State, students who protested the Vietnam War. At Fisk in 1925, they were students were protesting, and it ended in police entering their dorms. And they were, you know, it's there are also some violent ends to this. BLM we've seen, women's rights we've seen, gun rights we've seen, or gun control, climate change, anti-apartheid. This has happened. Yeah. Since the beginning of time, and protesting was at one point our right, and now students are facing some very different kinds of threats, suspension, and a lot of other things.
I empathize with individuals who feel uncomfortable with certain rhetoric, but I remind you that we live in a country and attend a university that extremely values free speech, open dialogue, and rhetoric, and I would encourage everyone to listen to a variety of perspectives and to analyze what it means to not like something or disagree with something versus to actively be in a position of being unsafe.
You know, what I think is so important about this is what is often missed in narratives that I've read is the fact that this is a protest and a moment and a movement, really, of solidarity between Jewish and Palestinian people.
Yeah.
What you see in that clip and hear in that clip is a young Jewish woman on campus who's saying, I understand the inflammatory rhetoric. Yeah. What I'm talking about is our First Amendment right to peacefully assemble. And that can include protest.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, what is starting to happen now, and y'all have seen this, is anarchy is being conflated with anti-Semitism, is being conflated with protest. And I want to talk really about the dangers of those things and how they are all separate. If this young sister could stand here and say, I'm standing in solidarity with this because not on my watch, why does her voice not matter? Is she herself an anti-Semite for standing with folks who are saying, I don't want to see innocent children and people killed because of what Hamas has done in Israel and in Gaza?
Right. And Hamas, again, a terrorist organization by the United States who has overthrown pretty much the power of the Palestinian Authority, which is the actual governing body and leadership over the Palestinian territory. Hamas, a terrorist group, who obviously undertook those horrific murders and attack on Israel, which none of us, not even the protesters, at least none of the ones I've heard from and that I know, would condone. This is Angela. I'm so glad my big frustration here is that it seems if you are protesting inhumanity or war, that somehow that makes you anti a group of people based off of their religion, the color of their skin, their nation of ancestral or heritage. It would be one thing if you were saying, I hate Israel and I hate Jews. That is anti-Semitic, that is hateful, that is racist, that is wrong. It is another thing to say that you hate war, or you hate war and the consequences that are right now being havoced over the people, the innocent lives, and the Palestinian Authority in Palestine. I don't mind referring to it as that, even though it is not yet recognized. It is fine, in my opinion, to be for it. In fact, every one of us should be abhorring that kind of loss of life. Every single one of us. This is what Governor DeSantis in Florida had to say. The inmates run the asylum, criticizing pro-Palestinian protests happening on college campuses in the state of Florida. He goes further to say, students should be expelled for protests. And if you are at a university here in the United States on a visa, that visa should be canceled by the government if you participate in protests. So just a quick note for the governor and those who think like him. First Amendment of the United States, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I know that was boring text, but that is the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment. These people don't even believe in the First Amendment when it, well, when it runs counter. Belief. Selective, yeah. When it runs counter to what it is that they believe. And for y'all who keep talking smack trash about protests interrupting your lives, if it ain't interrupting your lives, it is likely not protests.
Yeah. I think it's important for us to understand beyond the college protests, there are also folks inside organizations, big organizations like Google, that also have taken issue with what's happening in Gaza. Some employees have protested an Israeli contract of Google, and Google responded by terminating those who protested. It's now more than 50 people who have been fired. They're saying that Google is, quote, no place for politics.
It'll fool me.
I was fired about a month ago.
This is Eddie Hatfield. He lost his job last month after disrupting an Israeli tech conference that Google sponsored.
And I refuse to build technology that powers genocide, apartheid, or surveillance.
It was sickening to see Google's name all over the walls of that room while speakers come up and use genocidal, violent language to refer to Palestinians. That room is a place where they're making decisions about how this technology gets used. But not everyone who's affected by those decisions gets to have a voice in that room. That being the people being bombed by AI systems in Gaza, people moving between checkpoints in the West Bank and beyond when this technology eventually gets exported all over the world.
Yeah. So I think that we really are at this interesting crossroads where, and the, you know, those moments like when Congresswoman Barbara Lee was on the House floor. And she was the lone.
We were
person.
Just talking about
we
that,
were, yeah. You know.
What we were when we're break, we were on. Waiting. Yeah, we were just talking about the courage
the
of Barbara Lee.
Oh yeah, like saying this is not the war, and then come to find out, people are like, what weapons of mass destruction? Where are they?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You don't want to find yourself on the wrong side of history. There are student protests again from the beginning of time, trying to ensure that we never. Betray our moral compass in this country. Where will we stand even in tough times? Where will we stand on courage? Where will we stand when we see what folks are up against? You know, these young people dying, these innocent people dying, starving, can't make it to hospitals, don't know how they're going to see their next, when they're going to see their next meal. Like, this is a really, I don't know. I think that the way that this is being handled both in corporate and on college campuses is just wrong.
But the root of the problem is our foreign policy. You know, what we are seeing take place in Gaza is collective punishment. You know, it is hard for you to try to convince me it's not. That is an international war crime. Mark Lamont Hill, I have to give it to him. He did an amazing interview on Al Jazeera where he was really cornering government officials saying, but you are punishing all these people. We've seen grandmothers with their hands up like this, shot dead. We've seen children starving, a mother holding her two-year-old. And Biden said, if they kill Americans, then we have an issue. Well, they've killed Americans. Yeah. We have crossed that red line at this point, and I don't think American life is any more valuable than Palestinian life. We are seeing murder. We are seeing murder, and we have to start calling it what it is. And I see time and again on media interviews with a lot of young Jewish students who are on another side of the divide and saying, yes, it is anti-Semitism, and we're, you know, on the receiving end of this. And my thought is, I get so angry, you guys. I mean, really to the point where it crushes my mental health for the day, where I find myself consumed by it. Because I want to shout, where the fuck are the Palestinian students who are harassed every day? The Muslims who are harassed, the policies that impact them. And if you just put out one voice, you might start to think, oh, all these Jewish students are getting harassed. You never hear from the Jewish students on the other side who are saying, hey, we stand in solidarity with you. We don't support what's happening over there. So my push to young people out there.
Today.
Thank you, Angela, for playing that soundbite. And that's why Native Land exists, because you will hear. And thank you, Nick, our producer, Nick. Thank you for showing that other side, because you don't see it happen all the time. And so my advice, first, I want to say kudos to this young man at Google, and kudos to everybody out there making their voices heard. Kudos to the people at the Columbia Daily Spectator, the young J school students there, Jelani Cobb, dean of the J school over there, who tweeted out, if you're being denied access, you know, DM me. I'll make sure the press has access. Bear witness, tell your story, speak out. Don't be the last person to speak out. You know, don't be the last person when it becomes cool to say, oh, this is a problem. Like, you have skin in the game. And right now, this machine that silences you, that says you have a different point of view, being run by, we don't have time to get into it, but I want people to look at Netanyahu's cabinet. I want you to look at the backgrounds of the people that this man has empowered. Mm-hmm. Look at his own record, the way he disrespected the United States during Obama's administration.
Yes.
The way he disrespects President Biden to this day, the way that Israelis are calling on his resignation.
Yeah.
To Angela's point, we cannot conflate protest with anarchy.
Or the Israeli government with Jewish.
That's not the same thing. It's so dangerous. It is so harmful.
We are not anti-Semitic because we are not going to support the white supremacist Israeli government.
That's right.
Like, we have to make a distinction.
Corrupt government. A man who had intelligence, by the way, plenty of it prior to the 7th. Prior to, could have helped, could have prevented, right? What occurred on that day could have extracted even more hostages up to this point, which is what the families are calling for. Bring our loved ones home. But he has assuaged, he sidestepped bringing home hostages so that he can continue to persecute an unhumane war to annihilate a group of people, right? He wants to extinguish. And what bothers me the most is that folks are making no distinction between the terrorists of Hamas and the people of the, I said Palestinian Authority before because that's the governing body, but of the people of Palestine people. Yet to be named, who are just living their lives, or at least trying to. Jose Andres and his group, who had clearly labeled vehicles that they were there for humanitarian purposes, who had coordinated their movements with the Israeli Defense Ministry, who had three vehicles systematically taken out and innocent people who were just trying to feed starving people in Gaza killed, right? There's nothing which way around this way, this war, and the way it is being persecuted that is right. And I'm so sick of people telling us in anniversary and memorials, never again, never again this, never again
never
will
forget.
We sit idly by, never again will we watch as such and such happens, never again. Well, we're at it again.
Yeah.
We're at it again. And in this package, we are sending $1 billion in aid for the people of Gaza. And multiple billions in weapons.
17
right.
billion.
That's
multiple
the distinction,
billions
Andrew.
And weapons.
Thank you. Thank you.
Make it make sense. It doesn't make sense. And I don't want your thoughts, prayers, and all that other stuff. And years later, your memos and memoirs that say the biggest regret I have was that we didn't do more to save innocent life.
Yeah, and we know our world leaders have said that before.
Honestly,
this is how radicalization happens. You know, this is how that happens. And I think, you know, this is a conversation that we're going to continue. We know that it's risky for us to talk about it, but we know what's riskier is not being able to sleep at night, being on the wrong side of history, knowing what it's like to be an oppressed people. If we can stand in solidarity with these folks to say, you know what, not on our watch, we're going to talk about it here. Every week, if we can.
And Angela, I know you're rapping, but
That's right.
We also, as Americans, have to acknowledge what our documents, our founding, what we believe in our nerve, heart, and sinew, which is even if I don't agree with you, in a democracy, I still have to stand and protect your ability to say what it is that you think. And simply because we disagree with each other, we want to squash out free opinion. Protest people's ability to peaceably assemble, and I've got too many Jewish friends,
too many who I know to a fact would never, ever, ever want to look back and be reflected in history as having stamped out free speech simply because we disagree.
And just for this package, I just wanted to just really drive this point home, because I think, Andrew, you said it, but we kind of moved past it. This would be this package in like aid to Gaza and then weapons. It would be the equivalent of a foreign power sending $1 million in aid to the enslaved while sending billions of weapons to the Confederacy.
Yeah. Come on.
I think
you cannot save me and kill me at the same time.
You can't. It's impossible. And I don't know how your moral compass is telling you that's okay. So we
you can morally reject an assault on innocent people, which occurred in Israel and could have been prevented by the horrible president. And at the same time, you can decry inhumane and unjust war practices and tactics being waged against an innocent people.
In fact, we must. We definitely stand with and in solidarity with the students on these campuses, with the workers who just want to be heard at Google. And we'll be right back after this break.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Welcome. There's a gospel song. I don't know who sang it. I'll fly away. Who did that? Was that Hezekiah Walker now?
I don't know, but those movements were pretty hip-hop-ish.
Oh, it's too worldly. You know. It's too secular.
It was of the world.
I remember there was a pastor that said, when you know Kirk Finley used to be, go Jesus, go Jesus, go. The pastor said, how you gonna tell Jesus to go? So there's always gonna be a reason for something. But in the meantime, I'm talking about flying away because American is trying to restrict your ability to do just that. American Airlines said, not on my watch. If you don't book on my app, call my customer service that you might not be able to get through. You ain't getting no miles. What y'all think about that?
First of all, I didn't know we were in the show. I thought we were just talking.
And it's I'll fly away.
I thought we were just talking about gospel songs. That was in a whole
I was thinking about flying. And so, you know how my brain works. I got to always harken back to a song.
You of the world.
It'll be gospel.
Okay.
It could
I'm
be
I'm up here
rap.
About to make the audience suffer through my singing gospel. So, This is what I have to say about that. I just got off an American Airlines flight, so it's very apropos and timely. I'm so over these airlines, okay? The three largest carriers in the United States
sponsorships.
I love American Airlines.
Except for this really big problem I have right now.
Except for this tiny little problem, American Airlines. No, I think that the three largest carriers in the United States have turned a profit. You know, there were things that happened during COVID where, you know, airlines, because they mishandled and misappropriated funds before that, that they found themselves with their pants down during COVID. And so everything was tight and, you know, people, you could fly to California for $22, you know.
By yourself.
Right.
On a plane.
Right. But now the I think Q2 last year, the second quarter of last year, the airlines said, hey, yes, we are seeing profits now. American Airlines specifically said that passenger revenue from international travel alone rose 22%. So they can certainly afford, I think, some of these points. It's like the seats are getting smaller. The planes are falling apart.
A la carte, everything. You want water?
Flew off.
Yeah.
You want peanuts?
$55.
Right.
It's very frustrating. So well, I don't know what's there. They are regulated. What body? Right. I know they've gone before Congress. The FAA, regulates them. And
that would
else?
Be Secretary Pete. Under Secretary Pete. Okay. Department of Transportation is the FAA. Mayor Pete, Secretary Pete, we got a thing to say because the song said, I looked it up, it definitely was Hezekiah Walker, I will be free one day. I'll fly away. I would like to, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford these plane tickets. That's the thing.
But they're saying if you
can I get my miles? Because sometimes I need to use my miles. Oh, yes. By the way, you guys, I can't even believe I forgot to tell you
Yeah,
this.
You buried the
lead.
Do you know
somebody hacked into my American Airlines account and stole thousands of miles? So not only am I now not going to get miles potentially from these new trips I booked, but they literally, it was like three different people. I should name them on this podcast. How is that first world? I was literally about to book my godson a ticket up with my miles. And I was like, how do I got 2.4 miles?
Okay. I just want to say, I apologize. I needed to get the Turks and Caicos. I knew Angela's American Airlines number. And
no,
I just,
this was not you. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to pull this up. It was crazy.
Find out who did it. You literally
because I looked it up and then I just remembered they told me I need to file a police report and now
you don't know these people.
No, I don't know these people.
So how did they get to your airline?
They hacked into my account somehow. They hacked so they changed like my mileage number. You should, but they like send you. Andrew, this is so rude. It's not first world to need your miles.
Thank you. Somebody.
Yeah, when it's to fly your cousin across the country, when
it's not my cousin, it's my godson. These
your
kids
godson
are expensive.
Because most of the godsons who ain't in first world problems are taking Greyhound across the country.
That Andrew, even, okay. That's a lie. Tell me the last time. And you know what? How long does it take to take the damn bus from Tallahassee
forever.
To L.A.? Please
forever.
Tell me.
Exactly.
Tell me when the last time you was
forever.
On a Greyhound bus.
Listen, I said first world. I didn't say I wasn't in it.
Anyway,
everybody,
but for those of you who have empathy and can understand what it's like to be stolen from, you guys know I have personal beef and trauma around people close to me
stealing from me.
But not only that, now it's the damn randos. I don't even know. I'm going to name these people on
and
here.
And now we'll take a commercial break
because you'll make yourself
we want to make
liable.
Sure we pay these sponsors.
I can't name the people.
I don't know if you should. I know, but
well,
I
can
they
say
been
allegedly these people did it.
Okay,
can I say
if
that?
You say allegedly,
never
I think
mind.
So.
Tiff
nah, we don't
saying
keep it real.
Well,
right.
As a resident attorney
but
here, because I watch a lot of the practice in LA law, I don't know if you can say that legally.
Tiff, you know, you're about to get
we're
disbarred.
Not going,
you don't
we're
even
not
have
going
a license.
To. We're not going to.
Anyway, it's fine. All I'm saying is, beginning in July, travelers will only receive loyalty points and AAdvantage miles if
that's
they book their flights directly with American or one
what
of its
what if you do it on American Express? If you do it,
well, wait.
Press.
No,
that's
hold
not
on.
American
now here's
Airlines,
this.
Friend.
What? That's right. But I don't know about that answer. We got to find the answer. But Andrew, here's the thing. Here's the part that is first world. You know how else you can get your miles? If you book with a preferred travel agency.
Mm.
Who's a preferred travel agency? Mm. So we need to see that.
Is our person a preferred travel agency? Who we?
Jonna, I don't know.
Well,
we
it's
gotta
not
find
us.
Out.
It's not us.
But that is first world. I don't appreciate you calling me get my miles stolen first world. I'm mad at you again. I was already mad at you last time about Katie. Now I'm mad at you about this. And I apologize for showing out. Today, I'm not apologizing.
No, don't listen. Apologize. The funny thing is you apologizing to me for going off on me. I'm like, you do it every time we talk.
That is a lie. Andrew, Tiff, tell him that's not true. I don't be going off on you.
Stay on punishment with A-Rod.
No, brother, I normally am on your side. And lashing. I'll fight somebody else about
openly,
you.
Openly, out is to true. The public. But you be
Andrew. Okay, tell me, give me an example.
No, we're going to move away from first world problems.
Because you know you're lying, acting like Donald Trump. What are you doing?
Oh, no.
Telling stories, stories.
That was unnecessary.
Well, so was this lie you telling.
That was unnecessary.
Angela's a passionate communicator.
I have pearls, I clutch them.
And I said I'd never say fake news on this podcast.
Well, there we have it.
Anyway, I'm mad about the airlines thing. I don't like the airlines got to do better. Like we spend a lot of money with these airlines and we as, you know, the people who patron these airlines and because we have to. How else are we going to get across the country? I think our as customers, Greyhound. We deserve a little more regard Did and you? Respect. Nobody is getting on Greyhound.
Nobody. Andrew is lying.
Red bus.
Unless I
What
am...
is that?
Red bus?
Oh, what Lord. Is Red Bus?
That's how the kids go home. Spring break every weekend, they jump on the that's Red Bus. Lie. They got internet. They go to Atlanta.
Oh, that's like the fancy bus. I think mm-hmm. I have heard that.
That's
way.
Like
with
the
Jitney, New York bus.
With the Hamptons internets. Jitney.
Okay, well, either way, this conversation is over.
Y'all remember AirTran?
Now back to the real world.
AirTran, you can fly $50 each way. Yes.
Well, that's now Spirit.
That's why AirTran ain't here no more.
You know what's crazy? Right. You making fun of Spirit Airlines. I bet you they door ain't flown.
I ain't flying nowhere where I got to fight you for seats.
You got to fight them for seats. You got to fight
I gotta
for a seat
go
belt.
I got to go under the plane to pack my
own
bags.
You
got to
fight for toilet paper.
Oh, you just paid for a seat. You ain't paid for no leg room.
Okay, so now we are going to listen to comments. We don't have questions this week. We have two comments from Native Land Pod's audience. We are going to start with Mark.
Hello, Native Land Pod. My name is Mark Clemens. I'm from Fairburg, Georgia, originally from California. I'd like to address Kelsey Plum's statement regarding the WNBA. She speaks about the WNBA and the CBA. First off, there's really no collective bargaining to be had there, seeing that in 25 years from the inception of the WNBA, they've never turned a profit. So if you want to be paid a fair salary, then you're going to have to generate income more than what you're doing now. So what's needed? You need more people watching your game. Without TV money, there's no way you're going to add to the salaries. So you need to think about what can be done to add more people watching your game instead of moaning and groaning about not being paid. There are so many athletes that wish they were able to go to a professional league where the WNBA is a league for women. So Miss Kelsey Plum, instead of whining, let's come up with some ideas to create more people watching your game that will add to TV money and will add to your salaries. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
I have to say thank you, first of all, for sending in that comment. I have to say I find it incredibly disrespectful, and I can't imagine that he would talk to a woman that way. Although or a man that way, I should say. I do, again, though, I want to make sure that we invite these comments. We appreciate it, and we invite people who disagree with us. So, sir, I hear you. Right. So I hear your point. You clearly disagreed with Kelsey Plum and perhaps some of our words following it up. I do think you suggesting that Kelsey Plum is whining about not earning That's a fair crazy. Wage. I do find that language a bit disrespectful. The WNBA brings in just $200 million annually. And so they do rely on the NBA for some of their funding. I think this young woman was well within her right to say that they just want to benefit from the profit that they do bring in. I hear you that, yes, we should all start watching. And I believe the TV deals and rights are up in 2025. So they're actually negotiating those now. And I hope that the WNBA is being heavily considered, given how much excitement was generated around them. But I would invite you and just ask you respectfully to watch how we talk to young people, young women in particular, who are demanding to earn a fair and equitable wage. I don't know that I would call that whining, with all due respect to you. Yeah,
I got that. A slightly less respect than Tiff. I'm working on it. God's not through with me yet. I would just say, as a factual matter, that there actually is a collective bargaining agreement with the WNBA.
Of course,
and
there is.
We can move on to the next statement. But thank you, Mark. We hope next time you'll consider weighing in and checking your facts first.
Can I just say, where do we ever blame? Do we blame the flight attendants for the new policies at American?
Right.
Do we the baggage handler for a Delta because
if they,
had to get stimulus money during COVID?
Right.
Well, all I'm saying is the people who sit at the intersection of the impact are not always the ones who are responsible for the cure. These women are getting out there every single day, giving their heart, giving it all, leaving it all on the court. And because big moneyed interests to back basketball decide to invest more in the camera and in the person carrying the camera and in the technology of the facility for men's basketball sports. And therefore, when you look at certain women's games, it looks like a throwback to the high school, not because of skill, but because they didn't invest in how the thing gets recorded and projected, the dynamics of it. And we've come to expect that. That's all that is asinine. Except for the fact that we don't necessarily need to blame the people with the grievance for the structures that they have inherited. We don't blame the slave for slavery.
Yeah.
But I'm going to blame you for this podcast running over. So we're going to go to the next
comment. I'm done. I'm
off y'all. Mark, send me a better comment next time.
Delete my comment too.
No, don't delete it. We're going to keep it in there.
Hey, Native Land Pod. I realize that I have the answer to your question. That you asked a couple of weeks ago, what do we want our PSAs to sound like? What do we want our political ads? That was the question. And it occurred to me that the ones that have been most effective are when we get those mailers and they have the side-by-side comparisons of here's a question, and then this candidate believes in this, this candidate believes this, this candidate. This candidate believes this. Reading the data like that is what has been most effective. That's what I would like the PSAs to be like. There's the answer. Okay. Gotta go. This is Donalda from Florida, the teacher. Hi, Andrew.
Girl, hey.
What's up, Donalda from Florida, girl.
I just want to say, you know we family. When we can ask questions, I want to see how her hair turned out. It looked cute. She was blowing it out the bag. It looked healthy and full.
I want to know your whole regime, girl. Tag us in the photo so we can see what it looked like.
But let me tell y'all this. I theoretically like the approach. I think that works for a graphics ad. I don't know how well that would work visually speaking through those things. I'm a visual learner, so auditory, hearing those comparisons to auditory at least is probably challenging for me.
Mm. No, but she's saying as a mailer, right? On the fly. Oh, like you I look
thought she,
at
well, she was saying as she that are most that, effective for her.
Yeah.
I thought she was saying using the mailer model for a PSA or a political ad.
Either I think if you do it in print or
in print is all I'm saying.
Like, yeah, well, in print. But even if you did that on social, if you did that as broadcasted ad, I think all of it works.
I think she's saying contrast.
What she's saying, point out a contrast.
Yeah.
The problem is though, even that that opens people up to disinformation because you know people always say, oh, this person supports you know murdering babies. You know, like people can manipulate language and misinformation. And disinformation.
We should start telling our folks to be like, cite your source. And when they cite the source and that source be like, boobootofool.com,
yes.
You know it's not a reliable one. We'll have Tiff do a primer really soon on how to know if a source is a reliable primary source or not, or if it came from your little cousin Ruru and them.
Or like you heard, or some random video on YouTube. Like, that's not a source. I said that. I can't remember if it was on a Native Land page or the other show, Across Generations, but I was saying, well, what are you talking about? Can you cite your source? And the young lady responded, cite my source. This is Instagram.
You said, and facts matter everywhere, darling. So to that point, because facts matter and so does time, we are almost out of time today. We will not end our show without having a call to action segment, which of course is one of our favorites. We do not like to talk without and leaving y'all without anything to do. So
today, I'm going to defer my time to you, friend, because mine's long.
Okay, well, then I'm going to take your time, reclaiming your time. I will say to you that we have received such a wide and huge, loving response to our podcast about Marilyn Mosby and what happened in her case. Since then, we have been working diligently to figure out the best ways to support Marilyn. And one of the things that became really, really clear is that in order to ensure that her case is heard from this administration, from the Biden administration, is to ensure that we have a petition.
Yeah.
And so that petition is now live. Color of Change has a platform called Organize For, and you can find Pardon for Mosby there. We will have a QR code on our page. We'll have links on our social pages, as well as in our podcast description for this episode, both on YouTube for visuals and on audio on iHeart. And so we hope that you will join us in signing that petition. It is our honor, our greatest honor, to host this petition for our dear friend, a hero of ours, and someone whose legacy is all about righting the wrongs of the criminal justice system, even some of the past from the president himself. This gives him an opportunity to join us in righting some of those wrongs and supporting Marilyn, some of that incredible work, including the work she did to stop prosecuting marijuana possession cases in Maryland.
Before it was popular.
Testified before the House and the Senate at Kamala Harris's invitation on that robust and progressive policy. So if you're standing on her shoulders to implement some of those policies, perhaps you can stand with us and ensure that she's pardoned. Marilyn is facing 40 years in prison. She is scheduled to be sentenced on May 23rd, and we're hoping that we can halt that by getting her pardoned as she deserves.
Hear, hear.
She shouldn't serve a single day.
Not a single
day. For spending her money.
Not a one.
She literally did nothing. Money. And I would just invite you all to remember Andrew's testimony that he gave as a mini pod, but also what he shared today, that she would be handcuffed, cavity searched, put in a maximum security prison away from her two young daughters who she's raising. And she stood on the front lines for us during Freddie Gray. And she said to young people, our time is now. So to echo what Angela's saying, our time is now to show up for Marilyn.
Yeah. Well, before we end the show, I want to remind you all to please not only leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast, but also be sure to send in your comments and questions. We love hearing from you. We love to argue with y'all. We love to hype you up, hype our besties up. But we also want to make sure you know that we are available on every platform you can get your podcast, and also on YouTube. Our episodes drop every single Thursday. We have a mini pod every now and then that drops on Monday. We hope that you'll check those out as well. You can also follow us all on social media at Native Land Pod and our respective handles that I won't name right now. We are Angela Rye, Tiffany Cross, Andrew Gillum. And just in case y'all missed it, we are a mere 193 days until Election Day. Nevertheless, welcome home, y'all.
Welcome home.
Thank you for joining the natives. Intentional with the info on all of the latest. Rye, Gillum, and Cross connected to the statements that you leave on our socials. Thank you sincerely for the patience. Reason for your choices clear.
We're so grateful.
Took the oath to execute roles.
Yeah, thankful.
Preserve, defend, and protect the truth.
Even if painful.
Welcome home to all of the natives. We thank you.
Welcome home, y'all.
What's
welcome
up, home. Sis?
Native Land Pod is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with Reason Choice Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air.
For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.